Good morning. I'm John Hockenberry with Celeste Headlee. A quick update now on some economic news that looks to be good news, but maybe it's better for the corporate bottom line than it is for you and me. Productivity has grown at the fastest pace in almost 6 years this spring, up 6.6%. Labor costs, meanwhile, have shown the biggest drop since the year 2000. Jack Healy, reporter for the New York Times, is looking at the numbers. Are these a sign of the recession, Jack, or great strategic thinking on the part of corporate CEOs?
Well, you know, I guess necessity is the mother of productivity increases. Corporations have had to cut their bottom lines pretty drastically over the last year. And for many of them, labor costs are some of the biggest items on their budgets. So what's been happening is they've been asking more of their workers, and that's sort of part of what we see in these numbers. Like you said, you know, productivity is up by the largest percentage increase since 2003. And we're seeing that the total output from businesses has fallen a little bit, but it hasn't fallen as much as the number of hours worked. So businesses are doing a little less, but with a lot less
hours. Thanks so much for the update. It's, in some sense, a recessionary indicator, even though it does indicate we're more competitive in productivity terms. Jack Healy is a reporter for the New York Times with an update on worker productivity, up 6.6%, according to the latest figures released at 8:30 this morning.
And there's more troubling news for workers, anyway. A new study comes out today that was co-authored by advocacy groups and universities and has some pretty surprising results. We have Annetta Bernhardt. She's the policy co-director for the advocacy group National Employment Law Project. Annetta, you helped author the report that's being released today called Broken Laws, Unprotected Workers, Violations of Employment and Labor Laws in American Cities. Coming out of this report, it turns out you yourself may have been surprised by how many violations you found.
We were definitely surprised. I mean, we had already been hearing from groups on the ground, you know, that workers were coming in. They were saying they weren't being paid the minimum wage or weren't being paid overtime. The problem was that nobody had any data on it. And so we went out. We surveyed 4,000 workers last year, Chicago, New York City, L.A., and we found widespread pervasive violations. I mean, it's a pretty grim story. Lots of different types of businesses and jobs. Workers weren't being paid the minimum wage. They weren't being paid overtime.
But this study basically shows a systematic vulnerability of workers on the low end of the scale, subject to minimum wage and subject to whimsical and capricious hour regulations, and there's no oversight at all.
There's no oversight, and I think it's the systematic part that's really important. I think people tend to think of, you know, oh, this is just the informal economy, you know, it's just at the periphery, it's just a few employers. This is industry by industry. The violations were so prevalent. You know, a quarter of workers didn't get the minimum wage. More than 70% who worked overtime didn't get overtime. And, you know, a good example is actually the restaurant industry in New York City, where I think overtime has basically at this point become voluntary. And that's what advocates are telling us as well. And so the pervasiveness is really signaling this is business strategy. This is not one or two employers just deciding to break the law.
Well, we also have Amy Carroll with us. She's with a community center in Brooklyn called Make the Road New York. You're an attorney, and you represent workers who've seen these workplace violations. So why don't they say anything? If they're not getting paid minimum wage, if they're not getting paid overtime, why don't they complain?
The problem, it's industry-wide, so they think that's just what's allowed to happen. So we have restaurant workers, for example, doing deliveries. If you get deliveries in New York, there's a really high chance that your delivery worker is not being paid appropriately. Workers are working 10, 11, 12 hours a day for maybe $10 a shift, $15, $20 a shift.
$10 plus a shift, not $10 an hour.
Exactly. So their take-home pay at the end of the day is incredibly low, and the restaurants just are not paying the minimum wage or overtime to these workers despite their incredibly long hours.
Is this a legal issue, though, in the sense that in this environment, we were just talking in the last hour about people who don't take time off because they're scared for their jobs. These are people, if they even raise their hand and say, what about my overtime? They're worried that they're going to get fired. In this environment, what can you do legally in a situation like that?
I mean, I think enforcement really needs to look strategically at industries, not necessarily just at single employers. So it's a partnership between government agencies like the Department of Labor that really needs to take an aggressive stance on this. Community groups like Make the Road New York, we have over 7,000 low-wage immigrant members. So it's community education about what your rights are and letting people know that they have some place to go, that we can do a protest in front of the employer, we can go to the Department of Labor, labor and really get them the back wages that they're owed.
Annetta, she was talking about immigrant workers. Are many of these people who are afraid, are they here illegally? Do we have problems with immigration status as well?
I mean, immigration status definitely plays a role, but the big picture here is all workers are at risk.
Everyone.
I mean, whether you're U.S.-born or foreign-born, men, women, it's really across the board. And I would just add—
Well, let me just make this practical, though. I mean, okay, I raise my hand. I say, you haven't paid me for 3 weeks on overtime. I'm really mad about this. Mm-hmm. I get fired because I'm a noisy complainer worker, whatever. Do I have any recourse? Who do I call? And what's the chance I'll get my job back?
So under federal and state law, it's illegal to take a reprisal against somebody for standing up for their rights. Obviously, on the ground,
but it happens all the time.
Exactly. I mean, oftentimes we don't see workers who are willing to do anything until they've left the job, just because the reality is even one day out of work when your wages are so low can be really just terrible for your family. So I think that's why proactive enforcement by community groups, by the Department of Labor, so that restaurants, laundries, car washes know that they're going to be found out, and the fines will be really high.
The problem, though, is that for the last 8 years under the Bush administration, you know, the federal Department of Labor was really dropping the ball, and I would say bordering on dereliction of duty. It was weak enforcement, ineffective enforcement. The Government Accountability Office has now issued three reports showing this. So we can't, like Amy said, we can't put the responsibility on workers to come forward when they're vulnerable. It has to be the enforcement agencies. We have to increase funding for investigators. They have to go out there on their own, get back on the ground, and send the signal, you know, compliance is not optional.
Oh, it's amazing stuff, and really a big responsibility on workers there. Such an important issue. Thanks so much for coming in.
Annetta Bernhard is the policy co-director of the National Employment Law Project. She also co-authored the report being released today. It's called Broken Laws, Unprotected Workers. We also had Amy Carroll, an attorney with the advocacy group Make the Road New York in Brooklyn.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.